Lord, we thank you for the way you gift us all differently. And Lord, we thank you for the way you've gifted Bill. And Lord, we thank you also for the way his life is surrendered to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you that surrender brings the anointing and power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that your power would flow through him today. Lord, help our hearts and our minds to be open to what you would say to us through your word and through Bill, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, friends. Good to see you. When I was on the Central Coast, Andrew's right, we didn't get the opportunity to get to know each other very much, which is, I'm sorry to say that. But I do want to just have God honor Andrew and Melissa's faithfulness to this place. And their dedication to this place, and I want to thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be here today, and so thank you for that. My name is Bill. I talk with a funny accent, so I'm from the United States, and when I talk to my family in the United States, they think I sound funny, and when I talk to my family here in Australia, they think I sound funny as well. And so hopefully we can get past that and you can hear Jesus through the Holy Spirit today. But my name's Bill. At the moment, my appointment is chaplain to the Inner City Social Services. And so I have the opportunity to be the chaplain at Foster House, which is a men's refuge service, at Oasis, which is our youth refuge service, William Booth House, which is our drug and alcohol service in the city, and then Street Level, which is a homeless resource program in the city. I've been an officer for 18 years. This is my favorite appointment. And I've been here 7 months, and I absolutely love it because I get to see people who I can just encourage by a word. I can just encourage them by a prayer. I can just encourage them by putting my arm on their back. That is an encouragement to them. And so I pray today that God, through his Spirit, has given me a word for you, and that you will be encouraged by what God has to say today. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and I did not give this to the team, so I apologize for that. But I want you to listen to this, and thank you for both of your testimonies, because God planted a new word in my head this morning as I was sitting there. There's a passage in 1 John 3. I just want you to listen. 1 John 3 says, "How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished it on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. I love this passage of Scripture. Now, my story is chaotic. My story is a mess at the best of times. Who in this room likes to buy new shoes? Anybody a shoe person? I love new shoes, all right? Love new shoes. I like white shoes, as you can see. And I love wearing brand new white shoes. I love it. They look great, all right? At least I think so. That's why they're on my feet. And I like keeping them clean for as long as possible. Long as possible. Now, I only got these on Tuesday, all right? And yesterday, I pulled them out of the shelf. Oh, they used to be in this shelf in the garage, and I said to my wife, they're new. They need to go into our walk-in robe where the dust and the dog will not get to them. But anyways, so I went to pull them out of that area, and I looked at them, and I'm like, there's something wrong with them. And I was wondering, I'm like, which side is it? So let me take my shoes off. I got red paint on my shoe. And I have no clue how it happened. And when I saw it, I was really angry about it. Like, angry. So much so that I wanted to take them back and say, "You put red paint on my shoe, and I want a new pair." And my wife's like, "That's probably not true." But I have no clue how it got there. None at all. And You know, as I was looking at these nice white shoes, I was reminded that sometimes in life, stuff happens to us that we have no clue why it happens to us. I don't know why I got red paint on my nice, brand new white shoes. I don't even know where it came from. Literally, there's no reason I should have red paint on my white shoes. But it's there. Sometimes in our life, things happen and we have no clue why it happens. We have no clue where it came from. It was not by our own doing. It's just a fact of life. So in early 1977, late 1978, early 1977, late 1976, my mother was brutally accosted and raped. And I am the product of that. And I often think when I read or when I see today, we sang the song, I Am a Child of God. You know, that God, you planned for me to have this life. And I think about that and I think, that's a little weird. That's a little odd. For me to be born, my mom had to go through this pain. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, am I an accident? Am I here by happenstance? Am I here just because somebody decided to do something violent? And I look at this verse, and I think, how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That it doesn't matter what my life started out as. It matters what God is doing in my life now. And it matters how much God loves me and cares about who I am as a person, as a human being. And I want to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter what has happened yesterday. It's about what God is doing in your life right now. And what you want God to do in your life right now. Yesterday is painful. How many of us have painful yesterdays? We all do, don't we? We have painful yesterdays. And I believe that every time we think about our pain of yesterday, it's the devil saying that you can't go to tomorrow. Every time. God has a plan for us. And I believe that the greatness of God's love will cover every and all painful past in our life. When we recognize, when we acknowledge, and when we look at God's love, I believe we can move through the day. We can move through the day. I love the fact that not only does it say how great is the love, how big is the love, how amazing is the love, how awesome is the love of God. I love the word lavish. I love that. Like, we could have... The writers could have put any word in there. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. Anybody know what lavish means? It's like rich, abundant, awesome. I think of a Lamborghini when I think about lavish. That's what I think about. I think of an unlimited buffet of all my favorite desserts. That's what I think about lavish. I think about all the smoked meat I could possibly eat in a day. That's what I think about when I think about lavish, is that it's in abundance. It's more than it needs to be. It's huge. It's massive. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished it on us. He is just dumped it on us, poured it on us. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we, I'm going to change this for a second, that you should be called children of God. It doesn't matter about our yesterdays, because today we need to acknowledge And you need to acknowledge that you are a child of God. Now, my childhood was messy. Grew up very poor. Very poor. My favorite story from my childhood, and if my mom sees this, she's going to be really angry. So we grew up dirt poor. And one of my favorite things about when I look back at my childhood is we lived on food stamps. I don't know if you had an equal thing here, but it was welfare system. We were given money. It's kind of like Centrelink. We were given money every month. And you always got it on the first of the month. I don't know if it still works the same way, but you get it on the first of the month, and that had to last you the entire month. So the last 2 or 3 days of the month were really rough in our house. There wasn't a lot of food in the pantry. We would go to school just to eat, like not for the education system. We would go there just to eat. So my mom had this brilliant idea of that she would make what she affectionately calls end-of-the-month soup. And basically, she would take the biggest pan that she had. She would take whatever was left in the pantry. She would put it all in a pot, fill it up with water, and boil it all day. And that was our dinner. Sometimes it was really good. Most of the time, it was really bad. It was terrible. So we grew up dirt poor, dirt poor. I grew up in an abusive household with a stepfather that wasn't a very nice person. And so my concept of love is a little messed up in my head. And especially the concept of a father that loves me is a little messed up in my head, even to today. Still a little bit jacked up. But then I started attending the Salvation Army. And I met a man who loved me because I was me. Not because of anything I did. Still consider him my spiritual father. He loved me because of me. And when I think about God, when I think about how great is the love of the Father, and a God that would love me, and not only that he would love me, but he would lavish that love upon me. Sometimes that concept gets a little mucked up in my head. I want you to know today, and we've said it, and it seems to be a Holy Spirit echoing through praise and worship, through some testimonies, through that you are loved by God more than you could ever imagine. And it actually says that you're loved by God more than you can imagine, comprehend, or even understand. That your brain doesn't have the ability to process how much God loves you. It's unfathomable. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished in on us, that we should be children of God. Now, the writers of the Bible could have ended right there. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. The Bible could have stopped right there. Kind of makes it point, doesn't it? We understand that. But then there's this next sentence that gets me every time. And I want you to listen. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished it on us, that we should be called children of God. Exclamation point. Now listen. And that is what we are. So not only does it say how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, exclamation point, we get the point, God, we're children of God, you love us a lot. But then they throw in this little extra sentence that just says, and that is what we are. So I want you to think about that extra little sentence. You should be called a child of God, and that is what you are. That no matter how many times you doubt yourself, no matter what life brings to you, no matter how much red paint you get on your white shoes, no matter how much life wants to tear you down, bring you down, add burdens to your shoulders. I started working out about a month ago. Like really pushing muscle, doing that kind of stuff. I don't think I've changed much, but that's okay. But I think about, like, I was doing squats yesterday, and I was thinking about, like, what I was going to say today, and it was more weight than I'd ever done before in my life. And I was thinking about that, and I got down, I got a guy that helps me, I got down into that squat position, and, like, I could not stand up. Like, I'm like, what do we do now? And he's like, well, you got to get up. And I'm like, can I just step back under the bar? And he's like, no, you have to get up. And I think about that now, no matter how much life puts you down and you think you're stuck in that position and there's nowhere to go, no way to get out, you have a God who loves you that will pick you up. You have a God who loves you and cares about you, and he wants to lavish that love upon you, and he wants to pick you up. How great is the love of the Father. So I have a beautiful wife. Some of you have met her. She is gorgeous. If you meet her, tell her that I said she was gorgeous. Just in case. Just in case I haven't told her enough. And I have two beautiful children, 16 and a half. I have an L plater in my house, so pray for me. And then I have a 12-year-old son who loves his footy. I look at my life, and I think about how blessed I am. How, where I came from is, can I say the word crap? Okay, because it's the best word I can think about. How my life growing up was crap. But God kept putting people in my life to just give me a kick up the backside, point me in a different direction. God just kept giving me people to say, Bill, you kind of need to go this way. When I look back over that, I think about how blessed I am, even in that crappiness. I think about how God kept me safe. I have friends in jail. I have friends who've been killed. I have friends who have done horrible and despicable things growing up. And I think about how God has blessed me in such a way that he has just weaved my life in and out of these spaces. And to ever think as a 12, 13-year-old boy that I would be here in Australia is mind-boggling to me. But then I come back to this verse, how great is the love of the Father that he has lavished it on us. That we should be called children of God. What's the next sentence? Let's try that again. That we should be called children of God. Now I want you to change the we to I. All right? That we should be called children of God. That is what I am. You are a child of God, and you are loved by God, and his love is lavished on you. Whatever you think about the word lavished, if it's a smoked meat tray, if it's a buffet of desserts, if it's balloon unicorns and sprinkles, whatever that lavished word means, that's what I want you to think about. That's how much God loves you. How happy that stuff makes, food makes me happy. That's why I had to go on a diet. But whatever that word conjures up for you, that word lavish, whatever that word conjures up for you, that's what you need to think about when you think about God's love. And that no matter what happened yesterday, there's a now and there's a tomorrow. I'll share one last thing. And Sarah, this is your fault, because I believe that God has given me a word for you. So I was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago. I'll never be in remission. Never. The type of cancer I have, there's no treatment for it, really. And it's funny, God gave me the word joy. Like, literally the day I was diagnosed with cancer, I pulled out of the doctor's station, I ended up at a 7-Eleven, and God gave me James 1:2. Anybody know James 1:2? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds. And that's the verse that God gave me. Literally, in a 7-Eleven car park, I'd just been diagnosed with cancer, and God said, have joy. So, Sarah, have joy. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations of all kinds. Because that is the measure of your faith. That's the measure of your faith. And so I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song. I don't know about you, but when I get really excited about something, I want to talk about it all day long, right? When I go to an American barbecue place in Surrey Hills called Surly's, all right, I want to tell everybody about that place. How many of you are excited about Jesus today? All right, well, if you're excited about Jesus, then you need to talk to your friends, your neighbor, your family, the person in the checkout in front of you. They're annoying you because they got 17 items in the 15 items or less line. I'm a person who counts the items. I count them. If you got more than 15, I'm going to pray for you because you've just sinned. All right? But it's we've got to tell, if you're excited about Jesus, then you got to shout Jesus. When I'm excited about something, I want to shout it. I want to sing it. I want to preach it. I want to sing it. I want to tell everybody I know about it. So we're going to sing this song that says, I speak Jesus. And when I first heard this song, I thought about speaking another language. Is that our world is speaking a language of hate. Our world is speaking a language of discouragement. And you know what I want to do in that? I want to speak Jesus. Our world is speaking a language of depression and anxiety, and those are all very real, and they're very real in my life. But I want to speak Jesus over my depression, over my anxiety. I want to speak Jesus over the burdens in my life. I want to speak Jesus over the past in my life. I want to speak Jesus over the current in my life. I want to speak Jesus over my family. I want to speak Jesus over my friends, over my community. I want to speak Jesus to the person next to me. And so we're going to sing this song. And there's a bridge that says we're going to shout Jesus from the mountains. All right? And I want you to think about who you're going to shout Jesus to this week. Don't literally go up to them and scream at them. All right? It's a metaphor. All right? But who are you going to sing? Even just through your life, there's a great saint who says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Maybe just by living your life and doing the great things and the wonderful things that God asked us to do, you are speaking Jesus to somebody else. And so we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song. I speak Jesus. We're going to get to the bridge where we start shouting over things. And I want you to start thinking about what you need to speak Jesus over. And maybe that's yourself. Maybe you need to speak Jesus over yourself, over your yesterdays, over your todays. Maybe you need to speak Jesus over an illness. Maybe you need to speak Jesus over your family. You need to speak Jesus over your community. Maybe you need to speak Jesus in this church. But I want you to start thinking about what we need to speak Jesus, who we need to speak Jesus, and speak the name of Jesus. So we're gonna sing.